Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the NG podcast, where we talk to the next generation about being the next generation. However, I've realized quickly that it's not just youth that listen to this. So whatever you are out there,
whatever generation,
whether you're a dog or whatever, whoever you are, we're glad that
Apache attack helicopter.
Yeah. We're glad that you're with us. Good morning. And it is morning. I like doing it in the morning.
I like it too.
I like doing the podcast in the morning. It's nice. We got Manny. He's back. Is your mic back this time?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, news for good.
Yep.
There he is on the Manny cam. All right. I noticed that you never look at the camera. That's a good practice. Hollywood, I guess you're not supposed to do that.
Well, Hollywood, maybe. If you're like filming, we don't want to break fourth walls.
I mean, we're basically Hollywood.
We're a podcast.
We're North Hollywood.
Wait a minute. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I would say North Desert Hollywood. Yeah.
We're North Hollywood.
We're dry Hollywood out here.
We're the Hollywood North Campus here talking about inventions and innovations this morning. Last week, we got to talk about space. That was fun.
Dude.
I still haven't gotten to watch
it. And then literally 2 days later, they launched the Starship, and I was like, so cool.
Yeah, that was legit. That was super cool. And I don't even know how all that works. I'm just one standing there in awe.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, you got
one of my favorite things though is like when they do those and it cuts to like the camera of like the SpaceX facility and like all of like their hundreds and hundreds of employees are just like gathered up in the lobby watching it and they're all like just freaking out. I'm like, dude, all those people like just involved. And you're like, to be one of them would be crazy.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I mean, I would just, to be the guy, like, standing there, say, like, at the gate saying, mm-hmm. like, sorry, you can't come in.
Like, what'd you do? Oh, I built the flappy doors on the Starship. But they need that guy. Like, yeah, that's so cool.
I'm a graphic designer, so what does that mean? I made the stickers that were on the side of it.
So you know that logo?
I made the logo. My logo is in space. I didn't actually make the logo, just if you're listening, but that'd be really cool.
That would be cool.
Like, so tell us, what's your greatest achievement? Currently, my work is floating in outer space. That'd be pretty cool. There's a life goal for me, which we're going to be talking about this morning. But we had a story a while back. I had to do some digging. I'm not going to lie. Lately, there's not really a ton other than election news out there. Hey, yeah. Guess what? It's Trump and Biden. There you go. There's your election
That's
news.
That's crazy.
Maybe we should just let them try and do it together. Team president.
Yeah.
how would that go?
Biden.
It's like the couple's names. What would they be called? Brump.
Brump.
Badump. Brump. Badump. That's what they'd be called. The Trident. Oh.
Trident?
Trident. Yes.
We need to stop.
We would strike fear into the world. Like we have a team president. It's a new thing. It's called a bimocracy. And we have Trident as our first one, King Trident.
I feel like they'd bicker about everything, and then Biden would forget what they were talking about, and then Trump would do it anyways.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be so great.
You know, what are we talking about? Like,
no, I think Saturday Night Live is missing a great opportunity to make the Trident. This has no significance of what we're talking about this morning, but I want to see it.
Funny,
it's creativity. We were
it
just
is.
Creative.
We're being creative.
Look at that. See? We're talking about that this morning. And we talked about naming. Look at that. Wow. Get it. Anyways.
Correct.
So whoever you're voting for, you can write it in Trident.
Trident. Trident vote. Who the
I
heck
vote
is
for
that?
Trident or Mickey
That's
Mouse.
Trump
one
and Biden.
Of the two.
We're going to tag team the presidency.
Yeah, tag team back again. I think that's, you know, hey, there is no I in team. So there is an I in president, but there is no
I in team. I don't think that applies.
I don't know. We could be onto something. Did you know, and my brother sent me this, did you know that there is technically, it's not recognized by the U.S. government, but it is authorized by the U.S. government. There is another country inside of our country. It has 39 people as its population.
What?
And it has a president. It's Malaysia. Not Malaysia. It's pronounced Malaysia. They have their currency is cookie dough. I'm not even kidding. You can look this up. Their current he's looking it up right now. Molosia, I think. And it's a country. I think it's in like Arizona or something like that. It's like 11.2 acres. They have their own flag. Legitimately, their currency is cookie dough. And they're not author, like, they're not recognized as a actual nation by the United States, but as long as they don't do anything wrong, they are. And they're technically at war with East Germany. I think that's hilarious.
What?
Because East Germany doesn't exist anymore. I can't.
Like, we hate
did you
Nazis,
see? Did you
but
find
they're
it?
Not around.
Malaysia. Their flag's like blue, green, and white. I'm not kidding. I'm not.
Maybe they lost to East Germany. they don't exist anymore.
Yeah, they just got wiped out last night. The whole 11 acres of their country inside of our country. Yeah,
arson, something happened.
It's a country of Malaysia. I'm not kidding. Grant, unless Grant was lying to me, which is highly. He is my older brother. So
yeah,
I feel like he would say. Yeah, the Republic of Malaysia. It's right there. It's in. They're closed. It's listed on Google.
Oh.
It's listed on Google. They're closed. We're outside of operating hours. It says it's 11 acres. Republic. Oh, they have a 4.6 review.
What?
No, but look.
Wait, what's the U.S.'s review?
The government office is in Story County, Nevada. So we can go. We should go.
Let's go.
After the podcast.
We're going to another country.
We're going to the ends of the earth. It's foreign missions.
Yes, foreign missions. International missions
work. Oh, they
have
a website. Look at, there's the president. Look at him. He's got so many medals. I don't know what they're from. But you know,
or what army?
Help fight the war with East Germany. Buy war bonds. But this is legit. Go to Malaysia.org. Molossia.
He's all, I'm the Secretary of State, Defense, CIA, FBI,
we're part of the
all
UN.
Of it in one.
We don't get a vote.
He's
but we're
the only
four-star
general.
Like, I would just like to say, we don't want to hear it. Okay.
What's your militia
so
made
sorry.
Up of?
Yeah. But
three
no,
people.
You could buy war. Hey, maybe today, how can you support the nations? Go buy war bonds for Molossia's war against East Germany.
That's
talk about
crazy.
Creativity, man. I'm just saying, my in-laws own like four times that.
I was going to say, that's like taking homesteading to like another level.
That's, yeah, that's like
nation
steading,
now.
Yeah.
I feel like that'll be Texas in 10 years.
So Joe and Cheryl, my in-laws, they can turn their 40 acres or whatever they have, and they can go at war. They'd be four times the size, and we are declaring war on Malaysia.
Yeah, but what about that population? They might have a higher population, right?
They got 39 people. My in-laws have two, so that would be, yeah, they're outnumbered.
Outnumbered, for sure.
You better start recruiting. Anyway, that's not even what we're talking about this morning. I don't even know
that's
how we got
there. That's a good icebreaker
right there. Yes, see productive boredom. See what happens? Go ahead and visit. That's our next mission trip with the youth group. We're going to go to Malaysia. Engage 25.
Let's go.
Malaysia.
Try to evangelize. Stop the war with East Germany.
We want, yeah. we want t-shirts that say, I don't even know.
No
anyways,
more fighting.
And no more lay down your arms. The country's not even there anymore. So I hope that brought joy to your morning or whenever you're listening to this. But we got a story it came out a while ago, but it sparked these questions that we're talking about today. An investigation found that Tesla's autopilot was not sufficient to prevent driver misuse, forcing the EV maker to recall over 2 million vehicles. But this is what's also really cool. The issue is being solved by a software update that requires no action from Tesla users. You can see that on
which
the
which is correct.
There, which is awesome. So on the one hand, you've got people somehow misusing autopilot, which, in my opinion, how do you misuse autopilot? If you're going to call it autopilot, that should mean that I can take a nap while we drive, right?
Well, I don't know. If you're sitting there and you're like, hey, Granny needs to be picked up, and you're like, hey, Tesla, go get her. I don't think that's the right use of autopilot in that situation.
Door pops open.
Yeah, because I know like you can set up your maps and like ping stuff, and like the car will take you places, like automatically stated like your maps.
Yeah,
but I'm like, that'd be fun.
Yeah, but like if you're calling it autopilot, I mean, I don't know. Anyways, so all that to say, like, okay, huge problem. I mean, it affected a lot of vehicles, but then again, it was just like, oh, we can just solve this
that's
with
more than
a software
half the
update.
Cars.
Yeah, we can just solve this with an auto update. Like that's really cool to me. And we're talking about inventions and innovations this morning, creativity. But I just think that that's super cool. And like we talked about last week, like to me, you pull everybody into a room at Tesla, and they're like, "Here's a problem. Over 2 million of our vehicles are having this issue. we don't want to have to, how do we solve this problem with the least amount of cost?
Mm-hmm.
Because normally, like, if you get a recall, like you said earlier,
you gotta take the vehicle down, book an appointment. It costs, most of the time it's covered, so it doesn't cost stuff, but it's like, now you're out of a car for like 2-3 days most of the time.
Yeah, depending on how many people,
especially
bum
if like
rush
a massive recall like that, where they're getting like, now everybody's flooding their cars in, like, that would be crazy.
Well, yeah, Tesla's in California. That, I mean, that's a lot of people.
But I feel like Tesla haters would be like, hot, take that Tesla over 2 million cars, and then they're like, oh, it's already solved.
Yeah,
like, wait, what do you mean?
So again, like, we were talking about space last week, you know, that's just straight up like, hey, what do we have, and how can we use that to solve the problem? And, like, I think that's super cool. So before we get into that, I've got two questions. And you can give multiple answers if you want, because there's no rules. It's a podcast. So what is something you wish was invented already, and what is something that needs to be uninvented? So we'll start with the first one. Thinking of, like, all of your science fiction 90s cartoons, most of what I wanted in the 90s is already made. Like, being able to talk to people on your watch, that was, like, part of the cartoons. Rewinding TV. I remember standing in front of my little, it was like that big. What was it, like a 10-inch screen? TV, like, man, I wish I could rewind this or pause it. Because my parents were calling me or something like that. And I wanted to be able to pause and rewind TV. That's already there. Autopilot's kind of already there, you know. But yeah, what is something that you wish was already invented?
I feel like mine are kind of... have you ever seen... what is it, After Earth with Will Smith? Or what's it called?
I Am Legend?
No. It's one where, like, technically they're aliens, but then they land.
Oh, WALL-E.
No, they land on Earth, and it's, like, super, like, uninhabitable. Like, WALL-E. Everything's crazy. No, it has Will Smith in it. And then Jaden Smith. His son's in it, too. Oh, my God. I swear. You guys have never seen that movie?
Are you okay?
Yes, it's a great movie.
Sure? He's going to look it up now.
Oh, Pursuit of Happiness?
Pursuit of Happiness. Yeah, that's actually true. Yeah. Okay, while you're looking that up, I'm going to say one.
Yes, it's called After Earth.
After Earth. Okay. All right. Calm down.
It's so good. But it's not so good, but in the movie, they have these, like, suits.
Okay.
That I think are sick.
With, like, how much attention you've given to this, this better be good, man.
Because, like, the suits... can, like, because they're on, like, this crazy, like, basically Earth, but, like, everything wants to kill you.
Dune, okay.
Oh, but, like, their suits, one, like, change colors to their environment.
Okay.
But then also, like, they can kind of, like, heat you up. But then also, if you have, like, a foreign object on you, like, if you get stabbed by something or, like, in the thing, he has leeches on him, it, like, can tell you that you have, like, a breach or, like, you have a foreign object on
you
here.
Know
and then
it
has
stabbed.
A backpack. And you can pull off and has all this stuff in it. I was like, dude, those suits are sick.
I mean, that's legit. I think I would know if I was stabbed, though. Like, I wouldn't need a suit to be like, by the way.
I agree, but...
By the way, there's a knife in your side. Oh! Thank you.
I don't know, I have my backpack.
No, that's legit. I like that.
They're pretty dope. And then also the other thing, as I was, like, thinking that I thought would be dope, is, like, John Wick 4. Do you remember his suit that's, like, bulletproof?
Can I be honest with you? I've never seen any of the John Wick films.
The podcast is over.
We're walking out. Yeah. We got things to do. No. Sorry. I need to see that. Yeah, I know.
But basically, he has, like, his suit.
Yeah.
But it's, like, a carbon weave or whatever they call it. And, like, literally, he can just, like, pull his suit up and it stops bullets.
Oh, okay. So, Avengers. The cape. Yeah.
Anyway. I think if you're thinking of Captain America's shield, maybe, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's good. Yeah. So mine is, compared to yours, mine is super lame. The first thing that I think of that needs to be invented, like, right now.
Or hyperspeed.
I actually thought of this the other day of, like, okay, now how can I use what they have at their disposal, right? Are you ready?
Uh-huh.
Cup holders on airplanes.
They are. They're in the little thing you pull
down. No. That's not a cup holder. That's like an indention. Like, it's 1/16th of an inch.
Oh,
like,
we get turbulence, that drink's gone.
It's gone. Yeah. And they're like, oh, don't worry. We give you small cups. I don't care. That's still not going. Like, you accidentally bump that tray a little bit, and it's like, bye.
Or your guy kicks back that recliner. It's like, oh.
But I already thought about it. And I think my buddy, I've got a buddy that's an engineer listening, I think. I've already thought about how you can do it. You know how, like, if you're in an exit row, you don't have a tray in front of you. Do you know where your tray is? Yeah, yeah. So it
like
flips
a book,
open.
Like a desk at
yeah,
a school.
It flips open, then it goes out like that, like uh-huh. that. That's how you make the cup holder. It just flips out and then goes like that and expands down. So that way, if there's like, you know, you need to get out of the aisle, it just goes whoop, whoop, and then you just get out.
Like in your little armrest, you just like pull the end of it and it's like.
Yeah. And that way you don't have to, it's just an install. Like you don't have to replace the seats. You just pull that piece out of the armrest and you stick it in there and then you got your cup holder. Again, I mean, I have a Rector set or Legos. I could maybe make a prototype, but.
I think we could mock it up out of Play-Doh.
I'll make the illustrated graphic that shows how it works. But I'm telling you, and it's like.
We're going to sell it to Boeing.
Yes.
All of them.
Boeing needs help right now. But,
yes.
But I I feel like they're just getting a lot of flack. But anyways, because it feels like anything like, a Boeing plane, their tire went flat. Like, that has nothing to do with Boeing. They didn't put that tire on there.
Oh,
anyways, I just feel like they're just, anyway.
Well, they are crashing, so.
Jeez. No, but like, right? Oh. Wouldn't you? And that's one of those things that like, the first airline to do that. Oh, yeah. Like, I just heard about, I think it's Swedish Airlines. They made Cuddle Class. You heard about this?
No.
It is a new, like, you know, you have economy class, business class. And the funny name for it is Cuddle Class because it's a seat that folds back into, like, a bed. And it fits two people and you can cuddle. Like, you can lay down and take a nap there.
The whole flight to Africa, Tim. And they
cuddling. But right. So, anyways, I think cup holders on planes. I think that needs to be invented. I'm sorry, it's not super cool. A jetpack would be nice. I did see a guy. You have the air jetpacks, and you can like take them out on the. They have like the hands.
Yeah, the Gravity Industries.
Yeah,
they
but
have their whole
they have races.
Oh, I know. It's sick.
Yeah, I can't wait for those to be mainstream.
That'd be. Crazy.
Yeah, you straight up look like Iron Man, but you know, that'd be a cool, like, all right, I'm gonna go to work, unless it's snowing. That would suck, but I guess you have the same problem if you're taking a motorcycle.
Yeah.
But anyway, Manny, what do you think, man? What needs to be invented that hasn't been already?
That's tough.
It is. I had to think about it.
By the way, if you take any of our ideas off this podcast, it's patent pending. So
it's patent pending.
We'll find you.
We will find you. And just wait. It's going to be like 2 months from now. We're going to be like, now on American Airlines, a new cup holder. I'm going to be like, it's like the, what's his name? Leonardo DiCaprio? The memes where he's like pointing at the TV. It's like, that's going to be me. What do you think, Manny?
I feel like obviously something
that's so true.
Technological.
Okay. Like something.
I don't know. I don't think I've ever found a need for something new.
Then after today's podcast, I'll give you a framework to maybe better do that. You can't think of one thing that would like think about like one thing that would really make your day or life easier that hasn't been made yet.
Spray on shoes. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Are you gonna get them off, man?
Oh no.
You don't got anything back there. Nothing at all.
A smart
My life
pocket
is
watch.
Already...
You think smart pocket watch. Well yeah, you think on
My
that.
My life is good.
My life is really life is good. Really good. We need to here's another thing. Here's one thing that needs to be invented. Nacho Libre 2. Rise of Chancho. That needs to be made. That needs to happen. So there you go. What needs to be uninvented? And I feel like this is a much easier field.
Oh, my
Crocs.
Word. You're on the Croc hate game?
Croc. And I've mentioned this before, but literally, like, what made those shoes made... Yep. Wow, that was a... There you go. That was really sad.
I was like, nope, that was bad.
If you're not watching... If you're listening on Spotify, good. You didn't see that happen. But, like... Literally, what put those shoes on the map was a director of Idiocracy was asked, what are the dumbest shoes ever? Because when they go to the future, everybody's going to be dumb. Let's just have them wearing the dumbest shoes ever. And they're like, well, there's these new shoes that are called Crocs. And he's like, perfect. No one would ever wear those. I'm not kidding. Like, that's why they wear Crocs in that movie. And look. Like, look what everybody's wearing today. Like, there's dress Crocs.
Yeah. I was at a tournament, and a dude, one of my students, like, I'm going to get those for you because I know I hate Crocs. But it was like cowboy boot Crocs where it was black, and then the whole top was high top, like cowboy boot.
No.
And then there were spurs on it. And I was like, what in the world is this?
Were the spurs plastic? Or whatever material that is?
Yeah.
My brother loves his Crocs. I just can't. I feel like my feet would
so
sweat.
So many kids at the gym have them. And I'm
doctors, they have sport mode. You know, you put the strap on.
The fuzzy ones that just look gross.
Yeah, they have the stiletto Crocs. Have you seen those?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, I can't. Like, I don't know. If you've got Crocs on right now, go put on actual shoes. But I'm down with flip flops. Like, that's fine. You know, made out of leather. Those are nice.
Like, why did it have to change?
I don't know.
That's something that didn't need to.
Yeah, and boba. I feel like boba can be uninvented anytime.
This one I might have to disagree with.
Squishy eyeballs in your tea.
I like boba. I'm hit and miss. Like, I have a mood and then I don't.
If you have to drink something out of a PVC pipe, that's not a drink.
Yeah, but the same thing is like with a custard. You're like, out of that Freddy's massive straw.
Who drinks custard? You're supposed to eat it with a spoon.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Because there's a bubble place right next to my work, so like everybody gets it, and then mm-mm. I'll get coffee from there.
It looks like goat turds in milk. I can't.
What is these eggs? I love that meme. Grandma drinking boba.
What needs to be uninvented, Manny?
Oh, my Lord.
He's like.
Oh, you know what? I saw this thing a couple days ago. It was a wind-up spaghetti fork.
Oh my gosh. You can't spin it?
So it has like a reel and you spin it and then the fork spins with the spaghetti on it.
So you just stick it in.
Yeah. You stick it in and then you start.
You know those like
someone
hand
was like,
mixers that they have?
Yeah,
with
yeah, yeah.
I'm like,
yeah. Someone was like, I've got a problem. My arm is way too tired. You need to eat less pasta if that's an issue. Like, oh, my forearm. So sore. What can solve my problem?
Oh my
I
Lord.
Know.
That's
seen,
ridiculous.
Oh, man. Electric fly swatters. That's pretty cool.
I feel like you see the most useless stuff on ads for like Temu and stuff.
Yeah.
But and then at like, the same time, you see stuff on there, you're like,
I need it.
Oh.
I feel like I need that.
I could get that for $4 in that. Because
that's
sense.
How I am. I really do think like the greatest inventions are the things that are like. Because when you think of inventions, which is what I mean, we'll talk about this a little bit today, but like when we think of inventions, we think of like massively complex,
yeah,
you know, like all this kind of stuff. And then in reality, you're like, oh.
One Kylie sent me the other day was like, it's her peanut butter jar. It's like this stick that I don't even know why, but it's literally like a piece of metal that just is like that. And they can stick it in, and then it stirs it for you. But then you can, like, literally just, like, quickly, like, pull all the peanut butter off. And I was like, what's wrong with a butter knife? And you just slide it off, and you're fine. Like,
well,
she's like, no, you need this is why this is invented.
I know, but I brought up the ice cream scoop, that somebody invented an ice cream scoop. Because, again, before you put the ice cream scoop in the sink, what do? You lick off the ice cream, right? But then, like, if you've ever tried to lick the ice cream off of an actual ice cream scoop, it's weird. Like, you got to, like, get your chin in there. And so somebody's like, I've got it. A lickable ice cream scoop. Ta-da! And it's there. And guess what? It probably sold a ton. Like, have you ever seen the show Shark Tank?
Mm-hmm.
I love, I like watching the Shark Tank fails. Like, there was this, like, this guy that was selling these bracelets that, like, helped balance your ions or something like that, and they like called his bluff like hardcore, and I felt part of you feels bad for the guy, but the other part you're like, you brought on a live television show trying to ask for millions of dollars. But I like watching that show because sometimes you see stuff that's on there like, oh my gosh, that is genius.
Correct.
Like, I feel like I would want that, but that's how I feel about that. Have you thought about your invention yet, Manny? What do you want invented?
Something I want invented.
Mm-hmm. radio silence. So we're going to be talking about the muscle of creativity, and apparently you need to work out more. All right. So we're going to be talking about that today. We'll come back to you. We're going to circle back again. Right. We're in orbit. We'll come back around. Be thinking back there. What we're talking about. Innovation, whatever. I mean, please feel free in the comments. Let us know what you want invented and what you want uninvented. There's so many things.
There's so many cool
TikTok's
things.
About to be uninvented, apparently.
From the US. I don't know
if you saw that from the US. So our daily Bobo ratings are going to migrate right on over just to Instagram. But yeah, so we're talking about creativity, innovation, ingenuity, whatever you want to call it. That's what we're talking about. Because again, like when you look at this story, and again, like it's not a recent story. This story came out, I think, like 13 weeks ago about Tesla. But again, like I love the ingenuity behind it. I love the concept of just getting around a table and instead of saying like, well, let's have everybody bring in their cars and we'll put this new piece in. They're like, well, how can we use what we have to solve that problem, right? And so
it's the fact those cars are literally computers.
Yeah.
Like the new Model S is literally has a computer in it. Like you can play video games on your rest stops.
Oh no.
During like it's literally you can watch Netflix, it's a computer in your car.
Yeah.
Which when you think about it, if you're sitting there charging your car,
I can sit there
and play Halo in my car with everybody. That's pretty cool.
But maybe it's one of those things where like that was a fix where like the whole autopilot, maybe they were watching movies, so they had to put like a fail safe. Like I know in Android Auto, like if you're scrolling through Spotify, eventually it's like it makes you wait.
Some third party made a hack where like you can bypass things and like, oh, now we're driving and watching Netflix at the same time.
Yeah.
Because technically it's only supposed to work while you're stopped, like the car is in parked mode or whatever.
Yeah, and I bet it was probably one of those things. But again, like I want to get to this concept of creativity. And I think that this is a topic that most of us, again, when you hear creativity, like I'm reading a book right now on the same topic called Creative Confidence. And again, and that's more on the business side, like how can you be better as an innovator in the workplace? But I get all the same, I think we need a renaissance of creativity because again, like if I ask and being a professional creative, as a graphic designer and content creator and all that, and also like an art teacher, I've taught graphic design. You know, I go to kids that just, you know, and a lot of those kids would take my class because they needed an elective and they thought it'd be easy. When they found out that it was not, you know, and I'd ask him like, hey, are you creative? And the number one response that you get is, I can't really draw. Right.
Yeah.
Like that's like, we just associate creativity with
drawing and
art. Yeah. Paint like, oh yeah, Picasso. I can't do that but at the same time, those same people assume like, oh, you're either born with it or you're not. Like you're either born creative or you're not, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're either born and you can just draw beautiful things, or you're just like, I can't even draw the backbone of a stick figure, you know? I can't stay inside the lines even if I tried, right? And that's not the case, right? And so like the first question right here, like who is creative? If you are a human being, you are creative.
Absolutely.
You know? And again, like this is not just something that is biblical, and obviously there's plenty. I mean, I started to list out the scripture, I had to stop because there's just so much about creativity in the Bible and the value of using creativity. But again, like even if you're not a Christian, even studies show that we all are naturally creative, and there's actually tons of studies that show what happens when you remove that creativity. I remember not too long ago the whole No Child Left Behind thing with schools. Mm-hmm. And how, like, if you were struggling in math and you were in band, they would take you out of band and they'd make you take two math classes. And what they found was that was actually worse for the kids because you were removing them from that creative outlet and you were forcing them. And it actually made math worse for those kids. And so, like, there's research out there to support the value of creativity and how we are all creative. But again, I think we need to disassociate creativity with art.
I agree.
Yeah.
Because you look at, like, the creative Tesla, Elon Musk, I don't think that man can draw.
Mm-mm.
Never seen any artwork professionally or anything being dropped out by that man, but he was one of the, the founder of PayPal, one of the also co-creators of the internet. He created Tesla, he created SpaceX, he created NeuralNet, he created, the car tunnels underground, he created so many of these crazy things that it's like, yeah, it has nothing to do with art at all.
Yeah,
it's
and
about
again,
business,
like,
it's about innovation, it's about so many different things.
Yeah, and I guess like we can go with like the axiom of like all artists are creative, but not all creatives are artists, right? Like just because you're creative doesn't mean you can paint, right? Like I'm a graphic designer, and I like to try and paint and draw, but I would not say that those are my specialties. And like again, creativity is like a muscle. And everybody has muscles, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're born with muscles. You're not just bones and skin. Oh, yeah. Like everybody has muscles. It's just some people work out those muscles more than others, right?
Absolutely.
And so naturally, like if I can't lift 1,000 pounds if I've never worked out, like, oh, I can't work out. That's not true. You can. You might not be as good as it at it. You might not be as practiced, but everybody is creative. Mm-hmm. And we call it different things. And, you know, creativity, when you're thinking of an inventor, you know, or somebody that's an engineer or technologically minded, they would call it innovation or ingenuity, right? Well, all of those are kind of, we're talking about the same thing. We're talking about the ability to fabricate, right? And to dream and to solve problems and all that kind of stuff. And I have a K-bar, right? Which is like, if you're a Marine, it's like a rite of passage. Really like with K-bars, you're only supposed to, the tradition is someone's supposed to buy one for you. And so when I was in the Marine Corps, I had a collapsible K-bar. I actually have it in my car.
I have a K-bar,
just in case something goes down. I'm just kidding. but like, well, that's if you're in the Marine, yeah.
My dad bought mine.
Yeah. But like my collapsible K-bar, there's scratches all over it. Now, if you've been in the military and you've got scratches all over your knife, obviously you're like, oh yeah, that's from heat of battle. And I had to, whatever, but mine's from a soup can. You know, and again, like, why are there scratches on your knife? Like, what happened that caused all this? Well,
into a knife bite.
Yeah, I know. Nope. I had a can of SpaghettiOs, and I didn't want to eat an MRE anymore, and nothing was going to stop me from getting the SpaghettiOs out of that can. And all I had at my disposal was what?
A knife.
I didn't have a can opener. I gave it to you. It's on your backpack. I didn't have a can opener. All I had was my knife, and you better believe I was going to find a way to get into that can, right? Well, again, that's creativity. It's analyzing a problem and not being content with that problem, right? Like, we just asked the question, like, what needs to be invented? I think it's a problem that you don't have a cup holder on a plane, especially like we're about to go to Africa. We're going to be on a plane for literally longer than a day. We're going to be in the air for 25 hours. No cup holders. Like, why? Like, especially with how big cups are these days. And I don't mean like big in size. Like Caitlin has a Stanley. Those things are huge. But
no. But they,
I mean,
they
like,
get smaller at the bottom so it can
have
fit.
A small butt. but like, I mean, like, I mean,
that's
like
innovation, Tim.
Big, yeah. There you go. Big like pop. No, but it straight up is like, hey, how can we make a 900-gallon cup that still fits in your cup holder? Tiny butt. Like that's how you right. That's called innovation. But so that's what we're talking about. And who is creative? All of you are. And from a biblical standpoint, we'll get to this here in a second. But you were created in the image of God, and guess what God is? Creative. He is the creator. He's the ultimate creator, right? And you are created in his image. So if you're listening to this podcast and you are a Christian, congratulations. Let me tell you, you are creative.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and here's the reality. You're probably not utilizing your creativity, and you're just doing it under the guise of, well, I'm not artistic, so therefore I can just, you know, be a sloth and, you know, struggle through life. Like, no, all of us are creative. Where do we see creativity in the Bible? What's the first one?
I would say creation, Genesis 1:1.
Yeah, in the beginning, God
created,
right? Everything, the heavens and the earth. That's actually a merism to say he created everything. Heaven and earth, he created it all, right? out of nothing.
As we talked about last week, like, he created a lot.
He did.
The whole universe.
Yeah. I mean,
a lot to look at.
And it's incredible. Like, when you think just go, like, look into the science of anything. And just, again, don't think of that as a way of disproving God, but think of that as a way of putting you in awe. We're teaching this to Kennedy, but we were on a walk yesterday, and she wants to walk on the curb. We get home, and naturally, I have blisters all over my feet, so a walk sounds good. No. But we go for this walk, right? And Kennedy slips, and she just like me in the race, man, she just lands right on her knee. And you could tell it hurt because of her cry. It wasn't like just a loud cry. It was like the she was like, oh, ah, ah. Like, it's kind of like when you get, you know, when you hit your funny bone?
Yeah.
And you like can't even make the sound because it's just that, that was it.
Oh my, I get that students at the gym all the time. They're just like,
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, Lord, oh, Lord.
Yeah. And I picked her up and you know, I was holding her for a little bit and I was like, hey, like, you know, I tried to level with her. I was like, you got a boo-boo just like daddy. Like, you know, we're talking about that. And she says, yours doesn't look like mine. Because I had a scab on mine.
Yeah.
She said, mine looks like bacon. And even later on, after bath time, she goes, it doesn't look like bacon anymore. But I don't know where that came from. But that's a four-year-old. But again, I got to talk to her about a cut healing, right? Yeah. And again, like with God creating and recreating, and that's the God that you're created in the image of, right?
Yeah.
That ultimate God who's a creator. But then where else do we see creativity in the Bible? And this is very often missed. In Genesis 2, verses 19 and 20, we like to, you know, obviously, what does God say to Adam? Be fruitful and multiply. But then what's the first job that he gives Adam?
Name all the animals.
Yeah, name all the animals, right? And I love because, like, again, God probably, and I don't know, but I would imagine God knew what they were called. It says that he knows the names of all the stars.
Yeah.
So I would bet that God knew what those were called, and when Adam came to him, you know, just being a dad of a four-year-old, I can imagine he's probably like, oh, I wouldn't have chosen that, but no, that's a good job, Adam. You know, like,
that's,
I don't know,
turtle.
You know, yeah, onion turtle. That was, yeah, appreciate that. But like, again, like, even in the branding process, being a graphic designer, one of the most difficult things to do is naming. Right, is coming up with a name. Like, even with our church, if you think about the process of coming up with Living Hope Church, like, we had people submitting. We voted on even deciding to rename, and then when we got that, we let people submit names, and some of them
were wild.
We literally had a couple of people want us to be called No Hope Church.
Or the Fist of
God. And not no, like, N-O. It was like K-N-O-W. No, like, you want to know hope. And I'm like, that's great. But think about what that sounds like, you know, nohope.com, you know, nohope.com. But, you know, or like, yeah, straight up the Fist of God. Where do you go to? Yeah, I go to Fog Church, Fist of God, fog.org. But the Fist of God Ministries. Right. But like, again, like, naming things is hard, and you got to really get creative and think outside the box. Like, all right, well, this is what we are. And so, and literally, I walk organizations and ministries through, and I've actually done this with you. Like, uh-huh. I walk them through this humongous framework where we just try to discover, like, what your mission is, what your vision is, all that kind of stuff. And it literally takes all of that coming together. And then you're like, so then based off of that, what are some things that we can call ourselves? Well, let's look at the Greek for that. Let's look at the Hebrew for that. I'm like, where would this name come from?
Yeah.
Right. And that, I mean, naming things is hard. I mean, if you've ever had kids.
I mean, coming up with the name for the men's ministry was like one of the,
yeah.
It took me like a week.
Yeah. Well,
I'm looking through scriptures and I was like, what was like our main, like, mission and our goal that we're looking to do with it, and that's something that's easily branded, something that can be translated to other languages if we needed to, like, that people can relate to, that's easy to say, that's just like it was very interesting.
Yeah,
had a lot of names there, and I was like, we're gonna stick like that one, and it just stuck out, and it was good.
Yeah, well, and there were some names that were really, really great, but it wouldn't appeal to,
yeah,
you know, because we have Spanish and English, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember even with Rooted, like, there's no Spanish logo for Rooted. It's just Rooted. Like, even the book, the whole book is in Spanish, but the logo is literally Rooted. And I remember, like, talking with Carlos about that. Like, in English, you get that. Like, oh, you get the metaphor, right? That we're, okay, we're grounded in Christ. But I remember Carlos saying, like, we don't talk like that in Spanish. Like, that doesn't work there.
Yeah.
And we literally made our own Spanish version of that to kind of come along with that in Raizado. But again, like, naming things is difficult, and it does take a lot of creativity,
yeah,
right? And I wish I could have been there, like, with all the animals walking by, and Adam's like, Stripes. Stripey cat.
No.
I wish I could have been there.
Yeah.
Like, where do you get tiger? I don't know. Were there even tigers there?
Anyways. What makes you think, too, like, what animals were back then? Because there's so many, like, new breeds and, like, things that have obviously grown from then. Because they're, like, obviously there wasn't Chihuahuas, and, like, that name was invented a lot later in life.
Chihuahua.
But,
yeah.
But it's, like, wolf, like horse, like all those different things. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah, and we don't know what animals were there, you know, and I mean, obviously even depictions of Noah's Ark right now, there's always a giraffe and stuff like that, but there are a lot of species. I mean, this is thousands of years ago, so naturally we probably can't even know what actual, because mm-hmm. I mean, it was just one of every kind, right? So we don't know what was on the ark, but again, like we forget, we don't realize how difficult, and Adam was perfect. This is before the fall. But again, like God giving him the opportunity to create. And I love that it says what God said, whatever you name it, that's what it's going to be called. Like God was giving him that opportunity. Like, I'm not going to fight you on it. Adam, I just want you to be like me a little bit. Like, I made these animals. What do you think they should be called? Right. And Caitlin has talked a lot about this, but like not walking up to, like, for example, Kennedy, she got to pick out her clothes yesterday. When I got home, and Caitlin said, Daddy, Kennedy got to pick out her own clothes. And I've learned, Caitlin was actually talking to me about the question that you should not ask, or you shouldn't say, oh, I really like your dress. Or, oh, did you pick those colors because they match? Like, you don't assume that. And so instead, the question you ask is, hey, Kennedy, what's your favorite part of your outfit? Right? And you let them think and kind of take ownership of that. And I love this picture of God saying, like, hey, I've made all these things, but I'm going to let you name them. You know, and whatever you want to name it, mm-hmm. whatever you want to wear today,
yeah,
you go pick out those clothes. And she had a blue dress on, hot pink shorts, a green jacket. She loves wearing mismatched socks. But again, like, hey, I'm just gonna let you create. I'm gonna let you color outside the lines. Like, yeah. I love that.
And I think creativity is a huge display of, like, one, our freedom too, our free will that God gives us is, like, He gives us that opportunity to explore, to open our mind to everything and try to just take in things and be creative.
Yeah.
I think it's really, really important to have that. Like, I think of, like, most creative thing, freaking kids that just come up with the most wild things ever. And, like, half the time, you know, like, yeah, that's not going to work. But the fact that they're so little and they don't even grasp that comprehension, but they're still thinking about it is, like, it's so cool to see.
They, and I think that they haven't lost that. They haven't lost that wonder mm-hmm. yet. They haven't lost that freedom. And again, they're not afraid of rejection, and which we'll get to here in a minute, but they're not worried about perfection. They're not worried about judgment. They just want to have fun, you know, and I love the creative spirit of little kids, and it's so sad when it's lost. And so, but again, moving forward, Exodus 35, 30 through 35, this is actually the first time that you actually see the spirit being gifted for a purpose. So spiritual gifts right here. Exodus 35, starting in verse 30, then Moses said to the sons of Israel, see, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all craftsmanship. And here's why. To make designs for working in gold and in silver and in bronze and in the cutting of stones for setting and in carving of wood, so as to perform in every inventive work. I love this part right here. He also has put in his heart to teach both he and Oholiab, the son of Ahizamach, I don't know, of the tribe of Dan. He has filled them with skill to perform every work of an engraver and of a designer and of an embroiderer in blue and in purple and in scarlet material and in fine linen and of a weaver as performers of every work and makers of designs. And I love that whole passage is called Gifts Received. In my Bible, right? That this is them creating the tabernacle and creating the garments that are going to be worn in the tabernacle. And God, again, says, I'm going to gift you with the Holy Spirit to make you creative, specifically in the areas of engraving and cutting of stones and all of that. I'm going to gift you creativity. And so what we learn right there is creativity is a spiritual gift, that when you're created in the image of God, it's a spiritual gift. So the fruits of the Spirit that are listed in Galatians, we can add creativity in there, that it's something that is given to us by the Holy Spirit, that opportunity to create, but for what purpose? To glorify God. And if you realize, like, why did God gift them with creativity? It's so that way they can bring glory to God in the tabernacle, make these beautiful things that are in His presence, right? That's what that creativity was made for, right? 2 Corinthians 5:17, in Christ you are a new creation. So again, more language of creativity being used, that when you're in Christ, you are recreated. You're no longer dead, you're alive. Ephesians 2:10 talks about how we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. And so again, that word works, that it's tangible, that we're doing something. We're naming the animals. We're contributing. We're moving that ball forward, right? We are created in Christ Jesus for a purpose. And one of my favorite quotes is that we are created on purpose for a purpose, right? That we're not just saved so that way we can get out of hell. For by grace you have been saved, and this is not of your own doing. Like, those are the verses that come before that. But then in verse 10, it says, you are created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared beforehand that you might walk in them. So all of us that are followers of Jesus, that are created in the image of God, that are gifted with the Holy Spirit, we have a purpose, right? We're here to contribute. And then Romans 12.
Yeah, Romans 12, 6 through 8 says, according to the grace given to us, we have different gifts. I think that's really cool. If prophecy, use it according to the the proportions of one's faith. If service, use it in service. If teaching, in teaching. If exhorting, in extortion. Giving with generosity. Being with diligence. Showing mercy with cheerfulness. Like, if those gifts that you have, like, use them. Like, you're given to them. Like, especially, I love how it gives examples of areas that I feel like so many people can relate to in those areas. Like, so many people are good with numbers. Like, you may be good with money and math and all those different things. Like, you have that gift. Use it. And then it goes into even verse 13 where it says, share with the saints in their needs pure hospitality. Like, share with people those things, that hospitality, with those needs. If there's needs that you see need to be met, you might be one of those guys that it stuck out to you. You might be good in that area.
Yeah. Well, and that word right there in verse 13 is the word contributing, right? Mm-hmm. Contributing to the needs, right? And so again, you know, when we talk about creativity, what we're talking about is this idea of contributing, right? Yeah. Like when God let Adam name the animals, he didn't say, hey, can you paint these animals for me? Hey, would you mind drawing these animals? No, but it was still creative. I'm letting you contribute to what I'm doing, right? I'm creating you in Christ Jesus for good works that you might walk in them. And I've already got it. Like, I want you to be able to contribute to that, right? And I want you to look at the needs of the saints. I want you to look at the needs of the orphans, of the widows, of the hungry, of the lonely. And I want you to contribute to that, right?
Yeah.
I want you to take the ability of creating that I have given you, that is a part of who he is. And I want you to take that, and I want you to move this ball forward, right? I want you to contribute to the needs. And so again, that leads to the next question. Why is creativity or innovation, whatever word you want to put on there, why is that a good thing? Number one, it's a spiritual gift.
It is.
I mean, it's a gift that God has given you by the Holy Spirit. But the number one reason why creativity is a good thing is because it's all about contributing.
It impacts lives,
yes,
for sure. It's one of the things that's so cool, and it can contribute not just everybody around you if you do things that are pretty cool.
Yeah, well, and for you, if you are a person that would say you're not creative, which is a lie that Satan wants you to believe, I would ask you, are you more prone to contribute or consume?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think the number one killer of creativity is consumption.
Absolutely.
Because what happens is when we get in the routine of consuming things, it's all about us being entertained.
Yeah.
Well, creativity is all about the other, contributing to the needs. And so if you're all about, oh no, I'm just going to watch the movies, I'm just going to sit in the seat, I'm just going to have people cater to me, well then naturally you're not going to be creative, because you're not going to be using those juices to try and contribute and move the ball forward.
Yeah.
And Acts 20 verse 35 talks about this as well. But, you know, I think no matter what, whether you're going to church or you call yourself a Christian, I think all of us would say, hey, do you think a Christian should be a consumer or a contributor? I feel like most people, unfortunately, even if they're not contributing, even those people would probably say, oh, a Christian should be a contributor, not a consumer. Well, the problem is we don't have enough people contributing, mm-hmm. right? What is it like? You've got 20% of the people doing 80% of the work.
Yeah.
Right? Acts 20 verse 35 says, in everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so again, like even Jesus would say, no, like let's not be people of consumption. Just, hey, you cater to me.
Yeah.
I want all of my needs met.
I feel like some of the most creative things invented and creative people do things for others. I think it's one of the coolest things. Like what we talked about with the guys on Sunday, it's like you can read as many recipes in a cookbook as you want, but until you actually get in that kitchen and start doing stuff, it doesn't, you're not going to be able to do anything really.
Yeah.
And it's some of those hard things where it's like, I can sit there and be a consumption dude and just take in every recipe, take in every recipe, do all that. But then until I actually cook one and like make that cake, and then not only if I just like it, then I'm like, oh, well, I made it, so I'm gonna have some bias, but then share it with others and actually see if other people like it. But then also you make those things, you make food to eat food.
Yeah.
So it's like people like do those things, like share, be that creative person for people around you.
Well, and if the fries are too salty, don't move on to the next restaurant. Mm-hmm. Like, how about you just go and say, hey, these fries can use a little less salt. That's you contributing. Like, hey, yeah, this is, there's something wrong here, and I feel like my opinion can help contribute in this matter. So what if I say something about that, you know, and not out of hate or judgment, but yeah, just again, like this mentality of like, I want to help make things better. And when we talk about being a Christian, just even in a spiritual sense, that drive to want to help move the ball forward closer to Jesus, talk about innovation, right? Like that you can use whatever is at your disposal. You can work out that muscle more to where you can then contribute to that. That if you see a need, you can do what you want to fill that need. And it's all about, again, like bringing the right people around you. You know, some of the greatest inventors, I mean, you talk about Elon Musk. He's not making the rockets. He's not the one that's making the cars. He's a person that is extremely creative. And then what does he do with these ideas? He makes sure that he brings the right people around him, mm-hmm, to bring those things to, hey, I think this is a huge need. I think we can fill this need, but I need this. I need a person that's really good here. And I need these people so that we can make this a reality. Not to where, and unfortunately for his case, but we shouldn't want to do that so that way we look good. We should want to do that because we see a need and we have such this desire that God has given us to move that ball forward, to make things better.
Well, that's one of my favorite things about him too, though, is like he doesn't just stop there like, oh, he's a CEO of SpaceX, but he's one of the actual lead like engineers and like keeps contributing. He keeps wanting to help out in those areas.
Yeah.
And it's super cool. Like he doesn't just stop because he can easily just sit back and relax and watch everything unfold.
Yeah.
But no, he like dives into all of those things that he has.
Yeah, well, and I was recently reading a book. It's called The Eagle's Claw, and it's all about, it's a historical fiction on the Battle of Midway. And one of the pilots alive at that time, his last name was Thatch. And at the time, we didn't have superiority in the air. The Japanese Zero was way more superior,
yeah,
than our planes. So you can take that and just go, well, They're faster than us. They can maneuver easier than us. They can whatever, and you know, just take it and say, well, we're just gonna lose in midair. But he actually created Thatch himself. Looked at that and was willing to see that problem and go, okay, what's the dream? Okay, a faster, better plane, which eventually would happen, but a faster, better plane. That's the solution. Okay, that's great, but you're floating in the middle of the ocean right now, so you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
So what can we do instead? And he created a maneuver, and it's actually named after him, that our planes could do to basically take advantage of that speed and use it against them. And it was highly successful, and in fact, it's one of the reasons why we had such success in the Battle of Midway, was this maneuver that he made. Now, he didn't recreate the plane.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, he didn't hoard it to himself. He was like, no, I'm just going to rack up my numbers. I'm going to be the coolest pilot up here. No, he was like, you guys, this is going to cost people's lives. I think this maneuver is going to work. So we're all going to learn this maneuver and we're going to put it into play. And it worked, right? And again, like that's that innovation, like contributing, you're seeing a problem and you're wanting to take what you have at your disposal, like this software update for Tesla or whatever, and you're wanting to say, now how can this help move that ball forward? How can we solve that problem? And so again, like we have to remember that again, if you are a human being, here's what we have to remember. Even non-Christians are created in the image of God. Now, obviously, non-Christians aren't saved. They're not reborn. But all humanity is created in the image of God, right? Your life is being sustained by God, whether you believe in him or not.
Absolutely. Everybody right? holds the imago Dei.
Yes. But there's implications of that.
Yeah.
And we have creativity. We can either use it for good, use it for bad, or not use it at all, right? Yep. Those are our three options. And what I want to pose is the best thing for us is obviously use it for good. I mean, and even if you're a non-Christian, you would say, well, we should use our talents and our gifts for good, right? That's what all of our movies are about. So what do you do? And I would love to spend the rest of our time talking about this. What's the solution? Like, maybe you're listening to this podcast and you really don't think that you're creative, right? Maybe if I were to ask those questions at the beginning, maybe you don't know, right? That's not a bad thing. And you'll know a lot about this, but creativity, it's more like a muscle, right? Like all of us are born with muscles, but I can't go to the gym with you and see how much you lift and just think, well, I can't lift that much right now, so I must not have muscles. What would you say to me?
You got to build them.
Yeah. Like, yes, you do have muscles, but I can't lift that. I can't paint the Mona Lisa, so clearly I can't lift up 100 pounds, so I don't have muscles.
Yeah. I think that's where so many people just immediately quit on it, because they don't see it as something that you can improve on. They just see it as, oh, it's that thing I don't have.
Well, and should my goal, and again, like, you want to have realistic goals.
Absolutely.
So, like, if I were to walk up to you and I said, hey, you know, I want to be able to I want to do what you do. You know, like, if I walked up to The Rock and I was like, can you just make me like you today? No.
Yeah.
Right. But why?
Because there's tons of different factors that go into it. You have to put it, like, it's one of those things where it's going to take time to build.
And again,
it doesn't just come out of anywhere. It's just like one of those things where, like, yeah, I'm humbled every single day. I think everybody has that. Where always that's something to look at. Always have that. It's like that saying that there's always going to be someone to you. Like, especially in, like, my sport, like, there's somebody better. It's one of those things where even me going to the gym and lifting weights, I could always look up to that dude in the corner that's just jacked on steroids and be like, him. But then, like, realistically, I can't unless I have great genetics and steroids. So it's like...
Yeah, there's no creativity steroids.
And even with steroids, you still have to put in work. Like, you don't just take steroids and now your muscles are huge. Like, you still have to work them and do those things. It just makes it easier.
And you mentioned something that I want to talk about, especially when we talk about consumption, and that is time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to take time. And that is something that we don't want to give, right? That whenever it's, hey, I know, like, you're telling me that I'm going to be able to eventually contribute through creativity, but you're also telling me that it's going to take time. I don't have time. Right. And that's what a lot of people would say. I want to be huge and, I just want to be massive, but I don't have time. So how can you solve my problem now? That's our problem. Like this idea of immediate gratification and our culture of consumption. It's not just consumption and I'm willing to wait. It's I want it now.
Yeah. I think it's one of the biggest things is with today's generation and this just modern world is like we want that instant gratification. It's one of those huge things. You see it in our kids today. You see it just in people in general. Everybody's impatient. Everybody's impatient. It's not like even just driving from point A to point B. It's one of those things where like we just want to get there as fast as we can. Nobody just enjoys driving anymore.
Nope.
It's like one of those things. Like literally, I was on the phone with my mom for like 2 minutes and got people riding up her butt, passing around her. Somebody's not paying attention on the road on their phone, drifts into her lane, and she honks and they go back. It's like. Nobody can just simply relax and drive and enjoy nature, enjoy the car, enjoy just thinking.
Yeah.
It's like we either, one, want to be on our phone while doing something, which is illegal and dumb and it's dangerous. But then now it's like we got to drive 80 miles an hour to get to where we want to go as fast as we can because we don't have time to drive.
Well, and, mobile orders are the thing now. And I like to view
not
that
on
as
Valentine's Day. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. No, but like just recently, I did a mobile order, for a coffee, and I showed up, and it wasn't ready yet, and they were all super apologetic, and I said, yeah, that's fine. And I just stood there, and it's amazing. Like there were so many people just standing around, waiting for their drink. Some people were getting upset. Some people walked out. I viewed it as an opportunity to make new friends. And again, like, this is something that I think drives Caitlin crazy sometimes, is I just like talking to strangers, you know?
Yeah.
You know, kind of that no shame mentality. But again, like, we'll talk about the intentionality, but it's going to take time. And we have to remember that, like, nobody is born able to draw amazing things, right? Like, that doesn't happen. But again, like, you're not either born with it or not. It's just most of those kids that are really good at drawing, like, my whole life. And if you ask me, like, well, where did your journey to where you're at today, where did it start? I can't even tell. When I wanted to be a dinosaur in kindergarten and I drew a T-Rex, like, maybe, like, I don't know. That's yeah. A true story, by the way. But like, it doesn't just, like, come to you or not come to you. It's just, again, it's that muscle that yeah. you work out. And you don't, honestly, like, let's say that somebody came out with a miracle solution that would give you massive muscles overnight. What would you say to that person that's like, no, I'm just going to do this? Is that a good solution? Or is there value to putting in the time?
I think there's huge value, because one of the things, like, you see all the time is, like, motivational videos where it's like, a good physique isn't bought. It isn't just given. It's something you earn. And through that discipline, through that diet, through that putting in those reps, through that pushing, feeling that pain in that gym every single day, it builds that mentality that helps. It's not just like, I feel like if everybody was just given everything, we would be that consumer mentality all the time and just, well, I can just get it, you know, real quick like this. There's no creativity. There is no like drive. I think it's one of the hardest things today is, like, I get students all the time to ask me, like, dude, how do you get so good at jiu-jitsu and do all this? Like, I've been doing it my whole life. Yeah. And it's one of those things where, like, I wasn't just good at it. Like, I sucked when I started. Just like you guys, like, I was a 4-year-old that was garbage. Didn't understand anything. But it's one of those things where I was literally obsessed with it. I'd spent all of my day thinking about it all the time and wanted to just do it. And it's one of those things where, like, that's the only way you can truly get good at things is if you put time into it.
Yes. And again, like, that time gives you more respect for it. That when you look back at the wall with mm-hmm. all the medals and all the belts and those kinds of things, you remember the time. And I remember, like, training for my first marathon.
Yeah.
The reason why getting the medal and crossing the finish line was so great, I felt like I could just eat nails that day. Like, man, I was just so pumped. Like, and it was rainy and cold, but man, like, I just felt like I was unstoppable. Like, I didn't walk until 23 and a half miles into the race.
Yeah.
And I felt so good. Like, I was talking to people and I was like, where does it come from? Mile 18's all uphill. And I was like singing, like, holy, like, you know, singing my songs while I'm running and talking to people and encouraging them. But why? It's because of all the training.
Mm-hmm.
And when I finally got that medal, when I look at that medal, I don't think of the marathon. I think of the months and months of training yeah. that went in, and those long training runs when you're all by yourself. And I literally, like, had to, I mean, when you have your 20-mile run to train for marathon, I had to do that in the middle of the night one time.
Yeah.
Like, I ran from, like, 9 p.m. to 12 a.m., and I would check in with Caitlin every 5 miles. I would just text her, like, hey, I'm still okay, you know? But when you're willing to put in the time, and one of my favorite things to teach is adversity always makes the prize sweeter. And again, when you're willing to put in the time to develop whatever it is, and in this case, creativity, it makes that prize of, I mean, imagine when you're finally in that routine and you truly feel like you're contributing to a greater cause. That's a great feeling. And not because it's making you great, but one of the best parts about being creative, one of the best parts about being in my field with graphic design or whatever, I love when I hand off whatever I've made for them. And I just see how excited they are. Like, I just handed off a new website to a church that's in Florida, and it was months and months. I bet that at first they probably were like, all right, this guy's going to go on and make it look pretty, throw some paint on there. But man, I did deep work with them, and we discovered who they were and why they did what they did. And then we branded them, and the brand had everything to say with who they were and the stories behind it. And then we used that to choose their colors, their logo, and then we applied that to their website. And their website, the wording behind it just has so much meaning. And they were so excited. And again, like, that's the best. Like, that's the best part of creativity, when you make something and you just get to see people enjoy it. Like, I can't wait for the person that invents the cup holders in the planes. I bet the best part of that is seeing people, like, enjoying that. Like, that's the best part of it. Walt Disney, one of the reasons why he wanted to make his parks was because he wanted to go beyond the movies. And what he would say is the reason why he liked the parks more than the movies because the movie never changes. The story is always the same. But every time you go to one of his parks, it's a new experience. It's a new story. You're in a new chapter of life that when you go when you're a teenager and then later on you go when you have kids, it's a totally new experience. Yeah. And again, like when you get to see, I have now contributed, I've helped solve a problem and I can just see people enjoy it. That's the best part of creativity. Absolutely. It's all about contributing, not consuming. And the problem is with this culture of instant gratification and this mentality of, I don't want to solve a problem. I want you to solve my problems. That mentality, that selfish mentality is one of the reasons why creativity is in crisis, I would say. That we don't have enough people that are minded selflessly to contribute. We have a lot of people that are minded selfishly, that are minded. It's my reminder to pray for you, by the way.
I know, I love it.
I know,
mine
sorry.
Goes off at 12.
Mine goes off at 9. I need to change that. But again, like we have so many people that are selfishly minded to consume instead of selflessly minded to contribute. And that's the killer of creativity.
Absolutely. And I feel one of the biggest things is that I think it does have to do with one, the fact that like people don't want to be bored anymore. They're in front of the screen. Nobody reads. Nobody does these things anymore where it's like it takes work and time. It's just that I'd rather just sit and watch YouTube videos all night and just empty my mind and just consume things.
Yeah.
Which it's like, you can learn things definitely from the internet. Like you can learn things from social media. Sometimes you can learn things from YouTube and watching videos. Like one of my most like ways that I get into hobbies and learn things is through YouTube videos. Like I watch tons of videos on it and stuff. And it's just like, yeah, it's not a bad thing, but it's like when you're sitting there and you got, I don't know, 30 videos deep and you look and that's 3 hours gone of your life of you just sitting on your bed watching YouTube when you could have been getting your responsibilities done or genuinely like worked on that project that you wanted to work on or read that book that you've been wanting to read and doing those things. It's like, yeah, how is your time being spent? And it's one of those things I think time management is huge also with that creativity.
Yeah.
It's because like, I feel like everybody has that excuse that they don't have time is because they are poorly managed on their time.
Yeah.
Instead of opening up time just to be creative, like give yourself an hour or pull yourself an hour back from social media where it's like, give yourself an hour of no technology at all and just do things.
Well, and it's like the exercise that we did with the men's ministry where we just put a bunch of materials. We said, hey, we want you guys to make a catapult that's going to fling a ping pong ball and whichever ping pong ball goes the furthest wins.
Yep.
There was not one catapult that looked alike.
Yep.
But all of them threw it. Might not have thrown it very far, but all of them did throw.
Or one of them launched 20 feet straight up in the air.
Right. But again, like when you just allow yourself to just say, okay, here's my challenge.
Yeah.
Here's the problem at hand. I've got pencils and rubber bands and tape and a ping pong ball and whatever. And I need to make a catapult that's going to fling this ball. Again, like that's you using that to give yourself those creative things. So we're going to talk about the solution here. And again, this is not I'm about to write a whole book on this. So please know that there's so much more that you can learn from this. Number one, just like with any spiritual gift, again, creativity is a spiritual gift. So if you're a Christian and you're listening to this podcast, if you're wanting to contribute more, if you're wanting to be more creative, the number one thing you have to do is you need to pray and ask God to give you opportunities to do that. Ask God to give you the opportunity to innovate. Mm-hmm. But then when he gives you that opportunity, rise to the challenge. It's the same thing. Like if you want to be more patient, ask God to be more patient. But here's the catch. God's not going to be like, bling, here you go. You're patient. He's going to give you opportunities to be patient. And it is your choice in that moment whether you will practice patience and you will do the hard work or not. And you're going to fail a lot at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Dad, I want to ride a bike. Here's a bike. You're going to fall a lot at the beginning. But eventually, the more you do it, you'll be able to ride that bike all by yourself. And so when you pray and God, please give me opportunities to innovate. Cool. He might give you those opportunities. Are you going to rise to the challenge and actually try and do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
The number two, and again, like, remember, it's a muscle, 1 Corinthians 12:31. I've got that marked right here. But it's a muscle. We've spent a lot of time talking about that, but 1 Corinthians 12:31 says, earnestly desire the greatest gifts and I show you a still more excellent, way. Earnestly desire it. Like if it's a greater gift, and the greater gifts are the ones you're not good at. Like that's, You don't take a spiritual gifts test and go, okay, so I scored really low in hospitality. Whew. Cool, I don't have to be hospitable. No. Yeah. That means that you should desire to be more hospitable, right?
Yeah.
And so if you score low in creativity, that's not like your get-out-of-jail-free card. Like, okay, whew. Don't got to be creative. I'm going to let Tim do that. Like, no. This just means that you need to earnestly desire that. Pray for it. Right? Ask God to make you more creative and then be willing to work out that muscle. Like, yeah. Do the work.
It's like what we've been teaching the guys is like, we can't just sit here and talk about it. You have to do it. You have to actually put in that work and get it done. So many people just want to talk and talk about how we can solve this, talk how we can get this. Or it's like, are you doing anything? What are you doing? Are we just sitting back and talking and watching everything happen? Or are you actually getting up and going and getting it done? It's like one of those things where it asks for help. Well, how can I dive into the word more? How can I get better at this? It's like, when was the last time you picked up the Bible and read it?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, well, last Sunday. And you're like, well, you're not going to get good at diving into the word if you're only picking it up once a week.
Yeah.
Like, you actually, how do I get better at praying? Pray. Right? It's one of those things, you have to do it. One of the best ways. Like, if I always think of the Jocko Willink saying, he's like, everyone's like, how do you get so good at doing pull-ups? And like, how can I get better at pull-ups? And he's like, do a pull-up.
And try and do two.
He's like, if you want to get the better at that exact thing, do it. Like, yeah. Keep looking to do it. Because that's going to be the best way that you build those muscles in those areas. That's how you build that creativity in that area. That's how you build that repetition and getting used to that sort of thing. Where it's like, oh, I'm going to do some pull-ups. All right, we're going to do 3 rows, a set of push-ups, and then jumping jacks. It'll get me ready.
Like, no.
No, go do a pull-up.
Yeah.
And if
try.
You can't, keep working at it.
Until you can.
Yeah, if you can't, just hold on to that bar as hard as you can.
Yeah.
If you can't, just jump up and hold it and then let yourself fall. It's one of those things where keep working on it and you'll build those muscles for that specific thing.
Well, and give yourself creative opportunities. You know, like in this one of the books that I'm reading, it talks about how he and his brother used to take things apart to try and put them back together.
Yeah.
And they weren't always able to put it back together. But I would say, like, go get a little $5 thing of Legos and just look at the picture. Don't look at the instructions. Mm-hmm. Just look at the picture and see if you can build it.
Yeah.
You know, or grab, I don't know, grab a box or something like that, take it apart and see if you can put it back together. Like, again, like you're just getting used to this idea of like, okay, I'm just going to try and solve this problem. And then again, like that leads to the next thing. So number one, ask God for opportunities. It's a spiritual gift. Number two, ask good questions about the world. Like, get in the habit of not seeking answers all the time and just being like having your needs met, but get in the habit of asking good questions.
Absolutely.
Identify problems, but then see them as opportunities. So ask yourself this question: how can blank be better? And one of the best areas to start with this is your passions, right? SoundCloud, I think it was SoundCloud or Soundwave that was recently bought by Spotify for $2 billion. That was literally made because he loved music and he wanted a better way of learning what other people around him were listening to and discovering more music. And so he knew that he couldn't make it on his own. He was really good at marketing, but he needed a developer and he needed it, whatever. And so he built a team and said, hey, here's my passion. Here's how I think this can improve. And then they made it and it did really well. And then Spotify bought it for $2 billion. Now don't make that your goal. But notice what he did. He started with a passion. He asked himself the question, how can this improve? And then he got the people around him to help him do that. Remember, it's not a lone wolf thing, but you have to look for needs.
The biggest like sayings I hear like that sticks with me the most is like, especially with our walk and stuff, is like the Lord, like we got to look for progress, not perfection. Like so many times we just immediately want the big picture. And it's like, absolutely, everybody wants that instant gratification, that big picture, but you got to progress to it. You don't just open a puzzle box and you get the picture. It's like you have to put it together piece by piece. Start with those sides. Start
puzzles
working those
spot
spots.
Start,
it's like build that. One thing that I think that so many people lack, like hiring on to like doing stuff for the Sheriff's Academy and all that, it's like the written test is critical thinking, reading comprehension, and grammar. And you're like, so many people failed it. And you're like, this is basic critical thinking stuff or basic reading comprehension. You just read something, what you read off, they have questions, and you just answer those questions off what you read. And it's like how so many people fail that test when I was like, dude, this was easy. Like, if you just have that little bit of push in those areas, like, I find so many days, like, especially kids nowadays, they just don't think about those things. We're like, I had 2 private lessons at the gym yesterday with some students, and it was like, I was like, if you guys ever have questions about moves, like you get stuck in a submission, come ask me, how do you get out? Right? I have so many kids that in the class, like 45 students, and none of them come up to me at the end and ask a question. Where it's like, whenever I got caught in something, I hated that I got caught in that, and I wanted to, like, how did he do that? How did he do that? I want to do that.
Yeah.
And so I'd go up to my coach, and he'd always have that answer, and he'd like, here, you do this, this, and this. And I was like, all right, cool. And the next day, I practiced that as much as I could.
But even still, you eventually reach a point. Don't get used to, this is the way it's always been.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, this is just how we do it. It's like the phrase, there's two ways to skin a cat. Well, eventually, someone developed the system for skinning animals.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily mean that's the best way, especially as technology progresses. Like, as things progress, just because it's the way it's always been. One of my favorite parts about being at our church is that we have the freedom on the staff to innovate. That even though this is the way it's always been done, that doesn't mean it's the best way, especially as things develop, especially as new technology comes out. I mean, if you think about daily Bible studies, we are doing them on TikTok. You couldn't do that 5 years, mm-hmm. 10 years ago. Right. But just again, like that capacity to innovate, the asking, like, how can this be better? It doesn't necessarily mean that what's going on is wrong, but it does mean that I have the motivation that I want more people to know Jesus. I want more people to know, to grow in Jesus. I want more people to come to this church and invest in God's kingdom or whatever it may be. And so, what do I want to do? I want to just look for ways that this can be better. I'm going to pray and ask God for those opportunities. And he'll give them to you. Like, he gave Adam the opportunity to name the animals. He didn't need to do that.
Yeah.
He gave him that opportunity. But then when he got that opportunity, he's like, okay, I'm going to give it a shot. And I bet there was a few animals that God was like, I don't know why you named them that, but okay. Right? Like, again, like, you're going to have to try and you're going to have to work from that. But again, you've got to stop looking down at what you have and you need to start looking up at what there is. Right? You need to look around and ask yourself, like, how could that be better?
Yeah.
And again, like, you're not doing that because someone's wrong. You're not doing that because somebody's dumb. You're just looking at things with the mentality of innovating, of how can we make this better, right? It's the same thing of, like, literally adding rifling to the inside of a barrel of a gun. Like, it's such a subtle thing that was added. But think about the impact that that had on how a bullet flies.
Yeah.
Think about the impact that that rifling had on accuracy. And again, like, how can we make this better? You don't have to be Elon Musk to innovate.
Yeah.
You can literally be like, I wish I had a cup holder on my bike. Somebody had the original thought to put a card in their wheel so that it sounded like an engine. I'm sorry, but that's innovation. And think about how many kids do that, you know?
Also, literally, I just sent you I don't know if you saw it on Instagram as a reel, but this dude in his backyard literally made, he calls it his plastic to fuel reactor, where he made this massive tube and he takes plastic and we have a plastic crisis in our sea, our oceans, like we have so much plastic. But then he looked at, like, there's so many oils, there's so many different things that are put into plastic being made. And he literally created this thing that turns plastic into diesel fuel.
That's awesome.
In his backyard. This dude made this reactor that he can take this plastic, he grinds it down, he puts it into this little thing that he made, but he just made an even bigger one now in his backyard, that he uses microwave radiation inside this thing in his backyard that he created. I don't know exactly how it works because I haven't, like, dove into everything that he's done, but I just watched, like, two or three videos on it that he's done. And I was like, that's so cool. And then literally he separates it, the gases, the sludge from the plastic that he makes, he can take it. He's like, you can recycle that again. But he's like, it literally turns plastic into diesel fuel.
That's so cool.
And he's all, dude, we can make jet fuel. He's all, we can make all of these different things from plastic.
And that, again, like, that's high class. Like, that's high level. Like, you know, some science, that kind of stuff.
But it's out of his backyard, too.
I know.
He doesn't have some cool laboratory and all this stuff. He's like, dude, we can make this. Like, this is cool.
Yeah, that is awesome. And I just sent Caitlin a new brush that somebody invented. And on one side of it, there's these hard bristles, and it's like a little passageway, and it's meant to clean the spiraling on the inside of a cup where it screws in.
Yeah.
And so you literally go around the edge, and it cleans that. And then on one side, on the other side, there's a little brush to clean this part, and then you literally flip that brush around, and there's a different kind of brush to clean the inside of the straw hole. But again, that was somebody going, I wish that there was a brush that made it easier that I could just use to clean my, you know, my
yeah.
Because I mean, think about how many people have Stanley cups and all that kind of stuff. So someone was like, "Oh, it would have this on one side. It needs to be three-sided. I guess one side can spin around. Ta-da!" And yep. I looked at that video and I was like, "That's genius! Like I would use that, you know." And again, like it's just looking for the need and going, "This can be better." Right? Like, whether it's systems or it's productivity or it's project management or it's physical things like diesel fuel from plastic. Like, there's he looked at the plastic crisis and probably was like, well, this solves that problem, but it also contributes, mm-hmm. right? Yeah, right? Like, I know how we can make this better, right? And so it's, again, like, number one, ask God. Number two, ask good questions. And this, it kind of leads to the third one, like, color outside the lines. Like, think outside the box. Don't get used to, this is just the way it's always been done. But ask yourself, that's true, but can it be better? Like, as we continue to innovate, as we continue to do things, even, I bet you still, someone is probably going to look at that guy's research and go, yeah, but what if we did this, right? And again, like, it's again like that leapfrog of I don't want to try and beat you. That's not what I'm trying to do. But we're working together to contribute to keep moving that ball forward. That's what a creative team is. It's so much creative collaboration happens when you're together. Like, I think this is a great idea. That that would be. And you're working with each other, right? Be a part of that team and yeah. contribute together, right? Don't be this lone wolf that wants to be the greatest. Because even Michelangelo said, the greatest work of art is but a shadow of the divine perfection. What he means is that the greatest artwork that you can make isn't even a shadow of what God can make. And so when you remember that, like, God's got me beat, he can always make things better than me, that humbles you.
Yeah.
Right? To know that nothing you do can trump what he can make. But then again, it puts it in perspective of like, I just want to make people's lives better. And the best way to do that, I mean, think about Soundwave or SoundCloud or whatever. I think it's Soundwave. When he was like, this would make this better. I can't do this on my own. What am I going to do? I'm going to bring a team of people together that I know can help me do this and that are minded with the same things. Their goal probably wasn't to make $2 billion. Their goal was just, I've got this passion. I think it could be better in this way. Can we market it and sell it? Yeah, mm-hmm. sure. But that's just going to allow us to innovate more things, yeah. right? You know, and so again, like, look for those needs, color outside the lines, think outside the box, get used to collaborating with people, and that leads to contribute instead of consume. Be intentional with your time, and again, like you talked about time when it comes to working out, when you look at a sport, whatever it may be, like, be willing to take the time because it's worth it. I mean, when we think about from a Christian perspective, why should we be innovative? Why should we be creative? Because people's eternity is at stake. Like, is that worth your time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's way more worth your time than, you know, making a cup holder in a plane. Like, you could literally contribute to the mission of God that just like God allowing Adam to be a part of his creative process in naming the animals, God's giving you the opportunity to be a part of his recreative process of going to the ends of the earth, right? And we're just about to have like a meeting, like a planning meeting for our mission trip to South Africa, where we're all going to come together and think about what are some games that we can play that have supplies that are inexpensive and small enough to travel with, but that would still show them the value, right? Like, that's all creativity. And mm-hmm. that's coming together to do that. Be intentional with your time. Be willing to take the time to develop that muscle because it makes it sweeter and better in the end. Number two, you talked about this. Don't get caught up in perfectionism. And I'll say this, one of the number one reasons why people don't set out on creative endeavors is because of the fear of failure. And the fear of failure exists in our generation because of the myth of perfection, that we start to lose our childlike creativity when we start caring about what other people think.
Absolutely.
And if it's not perfect, and if it's not going to be perfect, I'm not going to do it because then people are going to judge me. When in reality, there is so much value in judgment. We want judgment. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't want to buy a product if it's not reviewed. If it has low reviews, we're like, even if it has 5 stars, if there's only 1 review, I don't know if I can trust that.
Yeah.
So we want judgment. Right? Like, we want these things that we have to come to become better, but yet we don't want to be judged.
I'll tell you, you're going to go to the item on Amazon that has 26,000 reviews and it has a 4.5-star rating.
Yeah.
Because you're like, well, it's got 20,000 reviews.
Exactly. Like, so we think that, I mean, we like judgment, and it, when you make a prototype and when you have an app that you're developing or whatever it may be, you have a beta stage where you want people's feedback so that way they can tell you how it's going to be better, because then again, it's going to make it more valuable and it's going to sell better, right? And so again, like, it when it's when we think that judgment is a good thing for the things that we consume, why wouldn't judgment be a good thing for the things that we contribute, the things that we can create, right? And so get used to the value, what I would call is the value of friction. That friction exists. If friction didn't exist, you couldn't stop. You couldn't change direction.
Yeah.
You couldn't alter course. You would just keep heading streamlined in the same direction. But there's value in friction.
Absolutely.
That when you have that friction, it allows you to alter course. It allows you to stop and do something different, right? Go in a different direction. That's what friction is, right? And then it's a beauty of friction, right? And there's always collateral damage, you know. The particles of the tire come off when you're stopping, right? There's always going to be that collateral. It's going to be uncomfortable to get people's opinions, but we have to get used to valuing that.
Yeah.
That because again, like, if you're going to judge me, it's going to expose cracks and then I can fill those cracks.
Well, some of the biggest things, like, especially in like sports, my sport, it's one of those things that my coach has always taught. It's like, you win and then you learn. Because even through our losses, through your loss is one of the best times to learn. It's like, where are loopholes? Where are things that we thought we were good at, but we got exposed in? So how can we build those stronger? How can we make those loopholes, not holes in our game, but now excel in them and make those actually more advantageous than disadvantageous? You know, they were more of a hurt, but now they're our strong suit, you know? And it's those things that those are the things that mold us and create our game. They create what we struggle in is what we can excel in. It's those things that just keeps molding our path as we keep going through things.
Yep. Well, one of the books that I'm reading, I was actually just talking to Caitlin about this last night. One of the books that I've read talks about the word try. Oh, I'll try. But Yoda says do or do not try, right?
Yeah.
Like, and what he talks about, but what he talks about is the fact that trying, we like using the word try because it gives us a cop out. Like, it gives us an out. Like,
oh, you tried.
Okay, I tried. And so if I tell someone I'm going to try, then that gives me the option of failing.
Yeah.
That is never a good, oh, I'll try to love you. Like, you don't want to hear that at your wedding. Like, I'll try. No, it's all I do.
Yeah.
Like, in sickness and in health, till death do you part. Do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife? I'll try. Like, you don't want to hear that at your wedding, right? You want to hear, I do. Like, I commit to that, you know? Mm-hmm. Does it mean you're going to be flawless? No. But that's why you need to surrender this myth of perfection.
Yeah.
And know that you're going to fail and stop saying I'm going to try, right? Because I'm going to try means that I'm going to give myself the out, right?
Yeah.
And I love that, you know, when he brought that up in the book, because it's so true. Like, even Yoda said, no. You're either going to do it or you're not going to do it.
Yeah. And it's one of those things that I, last summer at camp, I really kind of like wanted to push myself in, is like, I know I'm going to get put in uncomfortable spots. And like, odds are if it makes me uncomfortable and I want to revert right back to my comfy place, that's probably the Lord pushing me in an area that I need to go. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, if I'm uncomfortable in that thing, do it, because I need to. Like, it's one of those things where it's like, every time I felt uncomfortable about doing something, I was like, all right, Lord, just help me in this. Let's do it. Help me push for it. And then I would go and I'd do my best to do it. And it's those things, like, I didn't expect to be perfect at it. I didn't expect perfect results, but it's just the fact that I was stepping out of that comfort zone to do that thing made all the difference in the world. And when I look back on it, I was like, dude, that was actually like cool. Like, that was worth it. Like,
yeah.
It was worth stepping out of that comfort zone to do that. Okay. And it also just helped me really just push my students every single week when it came to trust initiatives, all those different things. Cause like, it's one of those things where we'd always go to the trust fall and it's like, I wouldn't tell you guys to do something that I wouldn't do. And so I'd always like go up first and have the kids catch me. And it's like, I put my faith in you guys and my trust in you guys. Can you do the same? It's like, if it's uncomfortable, odds are God's pushing you to do it. Put your faith and trust in him.
Well, and again, there's the lie, like, God doesn't close the door without opening a window. No. Sometimes he slams all the doors closed and locks the windows and just says, wait right here. And a lot of times we're just trying to get out of the room instead of thinking, how can I make this room better?
Yeah.
Right. Like, I don't like this room. It smells. Well, find where the smell is and throw it away. Don't just move on to the next room. Like, think, like, if you're stuck in this room, don't just be like, I can't wait for that door or that window to open. No, how can you make that room better? Right?
Yeah.
Maybe the room could use some new lights or a new paint job or new flooring or whatever it may be. Like, ask yourself, be intentional. How can you contribute to where you are? Get off the train of consumption and selfishness and get on the train of selflessness and contribution. And how can we move this forward? How can we make this better? Stop saying, I'm going to try. Say that, you know what? Even if I fail, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to bring the right people around me to do it. And what I told Caitlin last night was, don't say I'm going to try. Say that I'm going to do what I need to do to make that happen, right? Like, if somebody says, hey, will you pray for me? I don't want to say, I'll try. But I also want to be careful of saying, like, yes. But what I tell people is, like, you know, I'm going to pray for you right now, and I'm going to put it in my phone. Like, I'm going to do what I need to do so that I can commit to that, right? Like, I'm going to get the right people around me to make that happen. I'm going to do these things to make sure that can happen. Instead Absolutely. Of just saying, I'll try. Because, again, like, if I fail, then I can be like, well, I mean, I did tell you I'll try. Did try.
Yeah.
You know, don't get used to saying I'll try. Just commit, right? Commit to doing that and commit to doing what's necessary to do that. That if you know you're prone to just try and fail, then put a reminder on your phone. Get people around you. Go back to school. Take another class. Like, whatever it may be, so that way you really can contribute in that way. And then get bored. Go back and listen to our podcast about boredom and bombs, but we talked about boredom. And how there's value in removing all of the noise and just being bored and letting your mind create. Do productive boredom. Hand wash the dishes and just watch where your mind goes.
Yeah.
Not listening to a podcast, not listening. Just stand in front of the sink and do the dishes with no background noise and just watch what your brain does. Or iron your shirts and just watch what your brain does. Right?
That's one thing I've been trying to do a lot more now, too. It's like, I'll go to work and I'll just sit there and start cleaning. And, like, Jackie, our front desk lady, will come in. She's all, why is it, like, just sitting here, like, no music, nothing? And it was, like, one of those things where, like, I've just been enjoying silence. Like, it's some of my only time where I can just literally be in a whole building by myself. Just get a groove going and just keep cleaning and just enjoy silence. Yeah. Or Go now on. In the car, I've been, like, not playing music as much. Just roll the windows down and just drive.
Yeah. I mean, you don't know how many different books or songs or movies were thought of and written in boredom. Like Harry Potter, that first book, she had the idea while she was on a train coming back from substitute. And she had almost the entire book written by the time that day ended. Because she was bored in a train.
Yeah.
Like the book that I'm writing on this very subject, I went on a 4-hour walk during COVID in Colorado. And that's where this idea of this book of the value of creativity came to me. And I had the whole thing almost outlined by the time that walk was done. You know? But again, like, get used to that productive boredom. Let your mind do. I mean, your mind is an amazing thing. We can't even mimic it yet in technology. Like, your brain, like, what God created in your brain is so incredible. And yet we don't use it to its capacity. So just let yourself be bored and watch what your brain does. That, like, when you start to think, like, if you just sit there and think for a while, you're like, you know what? This could be better. Or, you know, A, B, or C could be better. And I think I can help with that, you know?
Or just, like, even the mental rest where you're just thinking of literally nothing. I feel sometimes, like, our brain needs that. So that way it can be more productive and do those things that you were doing even more efficiently and better.
Well, and that's what we're going to talk about, walk away from the canvas. You know? Like, as you're committing, and one of the best things to do when you've been working on a creative work for a long time is to walk away from it back late. Because, again, like, you're going to be prone to judge and staring at it for too long. In fact, even in the digital world, what you're supposed to do with digital art is you literally flip it. So that way you take the entire canvas and you flip it the other way so you can see it with fresh perspective.
Yeah.
Right? Or you just walk away from the canvas, or you let it breathe, right?
Yep.
And you can kind of come back to it. You know, you can't work out 24 hours a day and expect to be big. You've eventually got to let those muscles repair, recover a little bit, and then come back to it, right? Like, I wanted to go for a run yesterday, but I can't. Like, I've got blisters on the bottom of my feet. I've got to take time to recover. But again, I think the more that you're bored, you know, and the more that you're willing to contribute, we're looking at a house, and there was this house that we really liked. And there was this dirt road that it was on, and it had massive potholes. And I could have been like, no, I don't want the house because of the road. Or I buy the house, and I'm like, man, this road sucks. I really wish the city would do something about it. What's to stop me from getting a shovel, filling a wheelbarrow with dirt? We're in the desert. And fill in those potholes to make the road better for everybody. Like, I don't need to be some massive, amazing scientist to innovate. I can just see a problem, see that I can fix the problem with the resources at my disposal and do something about it, you know? So get off this selfish consumer mindset and become the selfless contributor that's willing to take the time, willing to get bored and think about how things can be better. That way we can contribute. Surrender this myth of perfection. We're never going to be perfect. God's way better creating than. So surrender the myth of perfection, because that's only going to breed the fear.
Absolutely.
And be willing to fail. I love you, what you said, win or learn, right? Man, that's the life of a creative. Like, if you got these people that made amazing movies, but look at their blunders, you know? Look at the things that they failed at, and be willing to fail. So we are way over time, but again, like, I love the topic. And thank you guys so much for giving of your morning, giving of your time, and go out there. That's your challenge for today. Get a piece of, just walk around with a notebook, an actual pen and paper, or your phone, and just be like, these are some problems in the world, in my city, in my room, whatever, in my school, and start to think about how they can be better and how you can contribute to that.
Yeah.
All right. So that's our challenge for you today. Be well. Thank you so much, Jeremy. Thank you, Manny, for being here early again with us. And go out and create.
Be creative.
Yeah, be creative.
Enjoy some silence. Push yourself. If you're uncomfortable, do it. Lord's pushing you. Just see where your mind can take you. It's one of those things where just push yourself a little bit. Yeah. But not physically, but a little bit mentally too.
And be ready for the opportunities that God gives you.
So yeah.
Have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you guys next week.
Signing out.